Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Intuitive Coaching with Amy Radio with your host, Amy Tamman. For more information, visit intuitivecoachingwithamy.com.
Hello, hello. Today we're going to be talking about 15 ways to create more calm in your life. I don't know what it is about May. It's like this Mercury retrograde. It's a 5 month in numerology, which that five energy, there's never a dull moment. Things are ever changing. And that can be really exciting to some people. And to others, it's like, wow, life just got really overwhelming. So here are my 15 tips for how to create more calm in your life. In case you're new to the program, I'm Amy Tamman. You can find me at intuitivecoachingwithamy.com. I'm an intuitive coach, and my goal is to help you live the life of your dreams and to achieve the lifestyle you always wanted. And so if you would like that and you want some intuitive insight with some really good spiritual coaching, reach out to me at intuitivecoachingwithamy.com. Okay, let's talk about those 15 ways to create more calm. I will be so transparent and say I am super type A, high stress. I've been that way for like ever, since I was a kid. And so here is what I found in my adult life really helps to create more calm in your life. And some of this I started doing at a very young age because I recognized that, yes, I was a little over the top and super passionate kid. But you can't stay up there all the time, right? You gotta come back to center so that you can really get work done, right? So here's how to keep calm. So number one, you got to engage in your spiritual practice, whatever it is for you. However you see God, however you see your higher power, it can be nature, it can be the universe, but have some time for either prayer, meditation, affirmations, ritual. You need some time for coming back to center and really relying on something bigger than you. One of my favorite Louise Hay quotes, she was doing a live lecture, and I heard it on a recording, and she said, if you think you're it, then of course you're scared, right? If you think that all there is you, and you've got to manage this life and keep yourself alive and keep yourself on track and that, you know, be in charge of every opportunity that shows up for you, then yeah, you're gonna get a little overwhelmed. But if you can start to rely on the spiritual world, and this is something I learned at a very young age, I've always felt deeply connected to the divine, and I think that's how I've gotten to this point in my life. If you can start to have that time, that reflection time, that time of checking in, that time of surrender, you'll find that your burdens will feel like less. You'll know that there is a way, and then faith can start to weave miracles in your life. So have some type of spiritual practice, whatever it is. If it's nature, it's nature. If it's Mother Earth, it's Mother Earth. If it's God, if it's a religious practice, engage something. And you don't have to engage the whole practice. If maybe you grew up Catholic and there's a part of Catholicism that doesn't work well for you, engage the part that does really resonate, the part that moves you, the part that brings you to your knees, that those moments of salvation are what will save you as you move forward in your life. So engage some type of spiritual practice. Number two, start, and this sometimes I get caught up in my day-to-day that I forget the power of visualization. Start visualizing your desired outcome. We're often seeking a goal or a result, but we never fully claim that result. It's kind of fuzzy, and so I find that a lot of people don't know if they've hit it or not. And so if you can start to visualize what your desired outcome is, in that moment, you start to actually create it. So review your to-do list in your mind's eye and visualize everything getting done in a way that is most pleasurable to you. If we set out, what typically happens is we do this in reverse. We try to visualize the worst case scenario, or we decide that something is going to be really challenging and really difficult, and so we start to create that really challenging, really difficult. But if we can look at each moment of our life and start to visualize the most pleasurable result, you'll see a dramatic shift. It relaxes you. It puts you into this state of calm. It's almost as if your cells energetically start to align so that you are moving in the direction of your dreams. Visualization is fantastic. And you can visualize anything from the shape of your body to your bank account. And there are so many ways to visualize. You can go into a relaxed state and just see in your mind's eye whatever desired outcome you want. Or I often teach my clients, it's kind of a play on a vision board, but find images that truly represent, not what you ideally hope, but like what's in your heart, the soulful image, and really meditate on that. See that being your desired outcome. It works, it works, it works. And if you're not a person who feels like you're very visual, you can do a feelingization, you know. Go through that to-do list or your event or whatever goal you're working on and feel all the feelings of that experience in your body before it happens. Or you can just imagine. Maybe you need to talk it out. You know, have a conversation with yourself. You know, act like you're in a movie and you're reciting the script of your life. Whatever it is, it's your journey. Nobody has to know but you. Go in your bedroom or in your sacred space, shut the door, and just give visualization a try, and you will be so excited. Number three, have more fun. It's amazing. I teach this, and I really do. I really live it. Yet I sometimes forget that, you know, my husband's not living in my brain, right? And I believe in turning. I wrote an article, a blog post about this recently. If you're on my newsletter list, you got it, about freedom. And I turn everything into an opportunity for joy, whether it's doing the laundry. If I'm going to do the laundry, I know what time those clothes are going in. I know what I'm doing while they're in the washer. I know what time they're coming out. I got a TV show loaded to watch while I fold them. I turn it into an event. And so if you can just start having more fun moment by moment, and of course there will be the big experiences of having fun. And that's what I was going to share with you. I was talking to my husband. We were talking about budgeting. And we're shifting some things around in our budget. And I told him, I said, fun is just as important as saving, as earning. You gotta do it. It keeps you healthy. It keeps you grounded. And everybody gets to choose. Really, the conversation we were having is he has one perception of fun and I have the other. And I told him it's all working. If we live in our truth, there's always enough. There's always enough for you to be in joy. There's always enough for you to have a good time. If you really soulfully are deciding what you'd like to do with your time that's enjoyable, you'll always, everything you need will be there for you. Have more fun. Have more fun. Have more fun. Four, spend time in nature. Yeah, really fantastic way to bring some calm into your life. Preferably near a body of water. You know, just sit down, put your sunglasses on if it's a sunny day, some sunblock, some good tunes in your ears, and just relax.
breathe deeply and chill. And if you're near a body of water, find the rhythm with the water within you. And it's amazing how just a few minutes of tuning in to the rhythmic quality of the water, whether it's waves or just the ripples in the water, you instantly find your calm. So spend more time in nature and preferably near a body of water. Number five, tell a different story. I've been talking a lot about this on the program and a lot in my sessions with clients. If you've been telling the same negative version of a story that puts you in the mindset of a victim or that life is happening to you, and we all go there, and believe me, I have my moments where I go there, I want to challenge you that to tell a different story, because the story you keep telling is probably creating some type of stress response in your body. If you're the victim, if you feel unsafe, if you feel insecure, if you feel like life is happening to you, that you have no control, then inevitably it will create a stress response in the body. So it's very important that you start to tell a different story. And it may mean that you tell the most positive version of it. Because here's the thing, just like they say there's like a gazillion versions of the same story, so true, you get to decide what version you want to tell. When I was in college, my major was American Studies, and it was this interdisciplinary program. And basically, it was the study of America. And people love to say it was, you know, oh, is that a history major? Not really. It's really the study of America, and my focus was art and culture, the study of art and culture from various perspectives. And it let me see that we can talk about something historic, say like a war, all these different groups of people have different perspectives on that event. Same goes in your mind. You can choose the perspective you buy into. And if you make the choice that's most in alignment with your truth, that brings you the most joy, that makes you feel the most empowered, that gives you the greatest sense of security and relief and gratitude, then you instantly create calm in your life. You actually create a great deal of empowerment as well. Suddenly, you start to see your life differently. You start to see all the opportunities available to you. You start to see that just because something's not working doesn't mean you have to deal with it. You can make a change. So start telling a different story. Yeah. And I want to add to this. So say it is a mistake or a problem that you feel like, you know, you didn't make the best choice and you contributed to that, and we all do. There is always a positive benefit. Anything that happens in our life, there is always an opportunity for growth. So even if you just seek out that, like, sure, that didn't work out for you financially, but what did you learn from it? What did you gain from it? Well, you might have met someone who really changed your life, or you realize, you know, now I fully understand how that system works, and I know that next time that I engage that, I know exactly how I'm going to proceed. Then it's a win-win. Always look for the win-win. Tell a different story. Number six, write it down. What a beautiful way to reduce your stress. And I'm a person who typically, I have a really great memory, but I write stuff down all the time. And probably it's so great because I write things down all the time. Write it down, write it down, write it down. And so often I'll be having conversations with someone. I'll be like, did you write that down? No, write it down, write it down, write it down. It's pretty amazing what happens when you put it down on a piece of paper. There's a book I used to recommend to my clients on my website, Write It Down, Make It Happen. And it was all about really being able to manifest our desires and create the results of our dreams just simply by writing it down. So I say get a journal, even a little notebook, carry it around with you everywhere, write things down from your goals to your dreams to projects to reminders. You know, if you were to go through the notes section of my phone, I have a gazillion notes. I was up last night and I was thinking about a new perspective on some goals that I have, and I wrote those down. And I was thinking about an idea I had for a program. I wrote that down. And write it down, because inspiration is always flowing.
And we can often miss it if we don't write it down. I hear writers say that all the time. If they don't write it down, they know it's not, it's gone, right? Same thing for the inspiration that comes from the divine, also known as your intuition. Write it down. You never know how that message is going to play out later on. So keep it with you. Write it down. Leave yourself little love notes in your phone, in your journal. Set reminders for yourself. And then be willing to write notes to other people. You know, when was the last time you said thank you? Which leads into number 7, appreciation. Appreciate what you have and what you don't have. And, you know, I talk a lot about appreciation. And you can, if you're a gratitude journaler, awesome. I've said many times I am terrible at that. It becomes another thing on my to-do list, and I miss the calming effects of that act when I have to, you know, when I'm writing it down every single day and it's this thing I have to do. So what I have found works really well for me is being in a constant state of gratitude. Moment by moment, try to find some good in your situation to appreciate. Even the cruddiest of the crud, you can find something to appreciate. Appreciate what you have, and then also appreciate what's on the way. And one of the phrases that I teach my clients is, I'm so happy and grateful for, and you can go through, I'm so happy and grateful for X, Y, and Z in my life, and then I'm so happy and grateful for that because, know the why behind your appreciation. Then it takes it to the next level. And then also, appreciate what you want to come to you. What do you want to accomplish? Things you want to do. I'm so happy and grateful for that beach house. Yeah. Right? Who knows when that beach house is going to show up for you? But if you start to appreciate it now, I promise you, you'll get so much closer than you ever imagined and faster. Okay, 8. Silence your worry the moment it shows up. I'm really expanding my awareness of worry. And we know worry. Everybody knows worry is not beneficial. Let's even venture out and say worry is not even helpful. It's just bad, right? Okay, so worry sucks. So what happens, though, is life is flowing pretty awesomely, and I was having an afternoon like that today before the show. I was eating some blueberries, and I work in my living room, and the sun was peeking through the curtains, and I was like, man, my life is so freaking awesome. And I was feeling so good. And then the minute, give me about 5 minutes, all of a sudden I'm stressed out about something. So what happens with worry, according to The Big Leap by Gay Hendricks, is that we as humans have an upper limits problem. If you were following the show last year, end of last year, I was talking about this a lot. And we've programmed ourselves. Everybody has their own specific programming of how much happiness they can allow in their life. I clearly hit mine pretty early. Blueberries and sunshine. Fantastic. And then I went right into worry. So I hit my upper limits. And I know now when that worry shows up to not buy into it. Don't buy into the worry because it's not real. It's just you're brushing up against your upper limits. And all you have to do is flip into. And I talked about this a lot in the last couple of shows. Something wonderful is getting ready to happen. So the minute you bump into that worry, don't engage it. I don't know what it was. I was worrying about, I don't know. But immediately I got that sensation I'm so happy and grateful for. So the minute that worry shows up, do not buy into it. I'm so happy and grateful for. Because it's just a sign that you hit your upper limits. How wonderful is that? How much happiness is in your life? And the way we exceed those upper limits is instead of engaging in the worry, we go into, wow, I know something wonderful is getting ready to happen in my life. And one of the tips I also recommend is when the worry shows up, again, before you start to engage it negatively and from a place of anxiety, take a step back and see if you can observe it. I wonder why I feel that way.
What is it about this moment that caused me to think that? And the more that you can start to track those thoughts and be aware of the layers and layers that are underneath them, you'll be able to compact that and move past the worry and back into a place of joy. Yeah, just try it. It's really fun. Number 9, and I know this one is really challenging, particularly for my overachieving type A folks. Stop thinking about work when you're not at work. Work when you're at work, and when you're at home, be at home. And if you work at home like I do, when I know what my schedule is. I know when I'm working, I'm fully engaged in that. And when I'm not working, I'm chilling. I might time to time think about my business, but I know that trying to figure out some marketing plan while I'm cooking dinner is not for the highest and greatest good of myself. It's not for the highest and greatest good of my business. It's not for the highest and greatest good of my household. So cut that out. If you want to get back to your calm, stop thinking about your job when you're at home. And when you're at work, focus on work. It's pretty amazing when we give our focus. I find, you know, if you're scattered at work, I was very much like this. I might think about 5 different things while I'm working and, you know, maybe even trying to send my mom flowers in between, you know, calls when I used to work in corporate. And I find that if you just focus on work, just focus on work. If there's something that comes up that you need to take care of, by all means. But if you just focus on work and you leave on time, you feel so much better. You work more efficiently. You sleep better at night. I tend to attract folks that like to stay at work. And when we start to really break down how they're using their time, they are recognizing that there's a great deal of procrastination there or distraction or giving their attention to something other than work. Put your attention on work. Do what they pay you to do. Go home and live your life. I had a wonderful – I've told this story before on this program. I lived – where this started to all kind of make sense to me. I lived with 2 law students when I was in graduate school for writing. I just moved to San Francisco. And one girl, she studied. She had a set time. She stayed from this time to this time, and then she went and watched her TV shows. If it's the weekend, she stays from this time to this time, and then she goes out and she has a good time. Good balance of joy and peace and happiness, and then the study part, the really focus that's required for law school. And they were in a top program. The other roommate, same program, it seemed like she was always studying. Always studying. She couldn't go out. Nope, I got to study. Always studying. I found out some years later that between the two of them, the one that studied incrementally, top of her class, got one of the best internships that you can get, was the head of whatever the law review journal is, and it completely different approach to life. So there's much to be said about focusing, giving your full attention to something. Both these girls are wonderfully smart in the same program, right? One of these top law schools in the Bay Area. 2 different approaches. And so give yourself the luxury, the joy, the peace, the happiness that comes with focusing on whatever it is that you need to get done and then transitioning into your fun. Have fun. Instead of worrying all day, you're stressed out all day, oh, I got to study. And I know I can do both equally well. It's like, let me down the middle. I can be both of those women equally. I'm the happiest when I stick with, this is what I'm giving my attention to. I'm done at this time. I go and live my life. Right? Okay. Okay, 10. Move your body.
You gotta get some movement in there. I don't care if it's just walking or, I mean, sometimes we think about physical fitness because it is an industry unto itself, that there's this right way or wrong way to do it. Do what feels good to you. Pretty much everybody on the planet has some type of physical exercise that they know makes them feel good. Who cares how many calories it burns? And studies are showing now, I just watched a video on it, that exercise really can't fully determine your weight, you know. It's really about your food and your nutrition and your stress levels. But exercise can really help to reduce those stress levels. So whatever it is, if you don't need the trainer, if you think you need the trainer, then go get the trainer. But if that's your excuse for not exercising is that, oh, I need to work out really, really hard. Mm-mm, it's just an excuse. Move your body. It will calm you, it will bring you back to center, and you will see the positive mental and physical benefits of that. Number 11, sleep. Oh, sleep. Make it a game to get the best sleep you possibly can. Research the best practices and try everything until you find the winning solution to your sleep game. Give great attention, just as much attention as you give to your job. Give that to your sleep as well. You know how many hours you need to be at your best. Make it the goal to get that. And just trick yourself into doing it. You know, maybe you have to get in bed early, and maybe you might not fall asleep for an hour and a half. But it's better than you staying up 3 hours longer than you plan to. Just find a way to get really high quality sleep on a consistent basis, and never underestimate the power of napping. If you can nap and it works in your schedule, and that's where you're being led to do, go for it. Get a little nap in. Number 12. Breathe deeply. Breathing is a big part of the way in which I encourage people to meditate. But just sitting for a moment and breathing deeply, say you don't have 10 minutes for a meditation, just breathe. It is so incredibly powerful. I had attended this group program for anxiety. And they were talking about breathing. I went to this thing. I gotten off work early. This is when I was still working corporate, to go to this thing. And the first thing they're teaching us is about breathing. And I remember leaving the group, and I was like, breathing? That's so basic. I'm not coming back here. This isn't going to help me. Ha! God smacked me. 5 years later, that is what I completely and totally do to bring myself back to a place of calm is breathing. There is great power in breathing deeply. The struggle becomes less real when you're breathing. I recommend the 5 second breathing. So inhale for a 5 count, hold for 5 count, exhale for a 5 count. 13, engage your creative side without fear or judgment. You don't have to be professional to be creative. Just engage your creative side in whatever way you are inspired. You know, whether it's coloring in a coloring book or redecorating your bedroom or making delicious food or making art, just engage your creativity. And it is a practice. You know, and if you keep practicing at it, you will find that you will feel so fantastic. And make creativity a part of your life on whatever level. And don't judge it. It doesn't have to be the greatest thing ever. You don't have to be Picasso. Just it's for you and in the experience of being creative. 14, eat well. Yeah, you know, dig within. Go into your intuition. You know what's the best way for you to eat. And then slowly start to implement that into your life. And then lastly, do what you say you're going to do. Going against our integrity creates a stress response in the body. So just start to do what you say you're going to do. Do what you know is right. Don't leave anything to chance. Believe in yourself enough to keep your word to yourself. And that's my program.
Thank you. If you like this, please review it on iTunes. And until next time, take care of yourself. Bye-bye.